From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to this Wednesday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm, Neil McCready from the Clark Ford Studio this morning. We're going to talk to Ryan Brown of WJOX, the Roundtable in Birmingham, here in about 10, 12 minutes. But we'll get started today with the podcast. Remember, we're in Jackson tomorrow night, 6 to 8 p.m. at the Westin, downtown Jackson, new hotel, gorgeous hotel. Free admission, free food. Cathead Vodka is going to offer up a complimentary cocktail. Also have a cash bar available for other libations. Andy Kennedy, Raheem Lockhart in attendance with us. And have a few items as well for a silent auction. All benefits of or all proceeds from that going to the Palmer Home. Great calls there. So that is what's going on tomorrow night, again, in Jackson, 6 to 8 at the Westin. Come see us. Might be a little rainy. Grab an Uber. Come on over. And then head back home wherever you may be. So appreciate all the
support.
Or
to Danny's with Chase. Either way.
Bring singles. Appreciate you guys. Again, Oxford Exxon, Highway 6 West in Oxford, daiquiris. You get anywhere from 12, 16 ounce all the way up to 44 ounce if you really want a lot of daiquiri this morning. $3 or so for the medium. That's the best deal in the mix there. Six different flavors. Still, I think, waiting on your orange, but we'll get there at some point.
You know, we could grab a bunch of daiquiris on the way out of town tomorrow morning.
Just take them.
At the Oxford Exxon, we're going to stop at Grenada Nissan to service my vehicle.
Uh-huh.
We could maybe fix something up by there. By the time we get to Jackson, it can't be any worse than Industrial Road in Oxford, so whatever.
Yeah. Oxford Exxon, Oxford Crystal, hand-spun milkshakes, chocolate, vanilla, strawberry, Oreo there. Also, Kool-Aid slushes made with Sprite. They got grape. They got green apple. So head on over to Highway 6 West, and again, head to Amory for Clark Ford, as we are, again, coming to you from the Clark Ford studio.
We are. Clark Ford is in Amory, Mississippi. Corey Clark and the guys there at Clark Ford do a fantastic job, and you can take advantage of the great deals at Clark Ford. It's really simple. You call the number, 662-257-1900. You can go to the website and contact Corey that way. It's clarkfordinc.com. But if you call the number and you ask for Corey, and you tell Corey what new Ford you want, he'll give you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It's that simple. Then once you get your quote, well, then it's really up to you. You can take your quote and shop it around as much as you would like, or you can let Corey and the people at Clark Ford do for you what they've done for so many other listeners of this podcast, and that is take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience. And then on top of that, tell Corey that you heard about Clark Ford on the Oxford Exxon podcast, or you can mention the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden. A big beer garden will drop tomorrow morning. It's Andy Staples, Chris Landry. It's really good, except for the little parts where I talk. It's great. I talk very little. I let them talk. You'll love it. A lot of college football, nothing but college football on that Oxford Crystal Beer Garden. So you can mention either one of those podcasts. It's $500 off the bottom line at Clark Ford in Amory. Again, that number is 662-257-1900.
I did not notice this when it first came out. I'm assuming it came out yesterday. We're going to spend a couple minutes here before we go to Ryan. NCAA doing their own PR now, apparently. They are jumping into defense. I'm assuming maybe they have a staff writer. Maybe
so
it's an intern.
Cynical PR. This was journalism.
Amy Wimmer Schwarb was the author in question. When you pull it up,
Pulitzer winning Amy Wimmer Schwarb
at NCAA.org is the URL that gets you here. The exact URL is /static/champion/the title of this masterpiece, Guardians of the Game. Couldn't have come up with something better myself. They're sometimes feared and often misunderstood. The enforcement team has just one goal, making the right call.
Making the right call, baby. You've not read it yet.
I have not. Well, I read the beginning, and we led. It's they are such freedom fighters. They are such challengers in charge of getting to the correct decisions or protecting amateurism.
Heroes.
That the lead of the story discusses that they do not have palatial dicks.
No.
They work in cubicles. They've got a dumpster outside the window. Yeah, I mean, it's powerful stuff. It's 8 mile on display here.
It is so. I don't know how they do it, but they do it every day. They do it for us, heroes.
The second floor offices in downtown Indianapolis don't overlook anything majestic. Just a loading dock, generators, and a couple dumpsters.
Yeah.
The NCAA's enforcement team's workspace resembles a set from the office.
They ever set fire to those dumpsters?
Modular beige cubicles positioned on commercial-grade beige carpet. The desk peppered with collections of coffee mugs, photos of kids and spouses, and pennants from alma maters.
Oh, gosh.
They're trying to humanize these people is what they're doing.
Oh.
I'm assuming. I've only read 4 paragraphs, but that's my guess.
Everybody forgive me. This is so emotional. Oh, God. It's hard.
So you've read more than I have. What's the gist of this masterpiece?
I slogged through it. I mean, had I been the editor, I would have said, Amy, honey, this is like 20 times too long. For the love of all things holy, Amy, go cut.
End this now.
Yeah. If it were a boxing match, you would not have let Apollo die. You would have thrown the towel. They are clearly stung by the criticism. This is absolutely in response to Stephen Godfrey.
Oh, you think so?
I do. Now, they will say this was in the can. This was, people don't understand. I'm going to say this for them, okay? I genuinely believe they believe this. I genuinely believe that the people in enforcement do not believe that college football is dirty.
You do believe that these people believe that the teams that they are not, or most of the teams that they are not investigating, clean as whistles.
Not as whistles, but that they're doing it the right way. Now, I'm not defending Ole Miss here. Use your burner phones, people. You can't cheat as sloppy as Ole Miss cheated. Your explanations for things can't be as sloppy and convoluted as Ole Miss's explanations. You can't, knowing that the NCAA is on your campus investigating your program at that moment, get involved in improper recruiting. You can't, and they did. And then you can't have a compliance office, frankly, that goes, hey, NCAA, we found everything. You want to see this. Because, right, if we cooperate, you're going to be nice to us, right? And then come out later in a story with Stephen Godfrey and says, yeah, we finally discovered that it was a fight. Now, a lot of people told you it was a fight. And I get, hey, our attorneys told us not to fight. I understand that. Get better attorneys. Get better in-house counsel, perhaps. I don't know. I'm just guessing. There's a lot there. And when this thing is completely over, there's going to be a lot to unpack. But yes, these people are insane.
I love this. We got to go to Ryan in a minute. But these few paragraphs, okay?
Yeah.
This is good. The photo's message, there's a photo that Duncan pulled out of something. Anyway, doesn't really matter.
Out of the dumpster, maybe?
No, out of archives from it's Tufts and Wheaton or some soccer championship.
Oh, yes.
The photo's message, of course, is Duncan's earnest edict to his staff, and it must be, as long as amateur sports have existed, so have forces trying to sway their outcomes. In the 5th century BC, for instance, Astylus won both the sprint and the distance run in the Olympics, bringing pride to his hometown of Croton. But bribes persuaded him to compete in another Olympics on behalf of Syracuse, not the Orange. So Crenton banned its favorite son and converted the house it had built for him into a prison. When college sports were born 2 millennia later, cheating emerged from the womb alongside it. Even at one of the first U.S. intercollegiate contests in 1855, the Yale-Harvard Regatta, Harvard used a coxswain who wasn't a student. By the late 1800s, paying for athletes was considered part of the game. Apparently, the Olympics in the BC times are what we're dealing with here now. Cheating has always happened in the NCAA. They're the people.
Yeah.
They're the warriors that keep this on track.
They're freedom fighters.
Or they believe they are, one way or the other.
They do believe they are.
Yeah, that could have been cut.
Oh, man, it is unnecessary. I'm going to tell you, they got their feelings hurt.
Wow. It's crazy stuff. Anyway, got to go to Ryan in a second here. We'll talk to him about Alabama, Auburn, SEC, different college football things.
I will say this also about that before we kind of move on completely.
Yeah.
Their feelings got hurt. And it's one of the reasons that I think, in fairness to Ole Miss, and I know there are people at Ole Miss that think I've been unfair. In fairness to Ole Miss, I think they're attempting to not ruffle the NCAA going into the COI.
Oh, I don't think there's a doubt about that.
I mean, I think there is a feeling there, and frankly, it's probably accurate that upsetting them is not their best strategy going in. That you're just firing them up. They're not used to anyone fighting back. The university itself has not really fought back, and they're I thought the language in the response to the second NOA was terse. Their feelings were hurt. How dare you question what we found?
Yeah.
How dare you respond that this didn't happen? We went through our process, damn it. We used a process to get immunity, and we spoke to this fine young student athlete, and he told us this happened, and so it by God did, because he would not lie to us with his eligibility on the line. Because here at NCAA, you're never going to take eligibility away from a kid. You're never going to do it. You're never going to do it.
Unless he makes a YouTube video.
But even then, give them credit, the Freedom Fighters. If you'll just not monetize it for a little while or not include that you play football, we'll let you do it. They didn't want to take that kid's eligibility away. That's the way they operate. And Ole Miss is trying to get to this place. And the problem Ole Miss has is that there are a lot of other people whose careers are on the line here. And those people right now, frankly, don't give a damn about the enforcement staff's feelings. And that's where the fighting back is coming from.
Yeah. Continue maybe after Ryan with that. Quickly, podcast brought to you also by MasterCoats Lawn and Landscape, MasterCoats full-service lawn maintenance company, Oxford, Tupelo, surrounding areas, all in North Mississippi, for skeeter beaters, the way to get rid of those pesky mosquitoes around your yard or workplace. So if your yard's not up to par, give MasterCuts a call for a free quote, 662-607-7773, mastercutslawn.com. And when you sign up for an annual contract, mention the podcast, First Cut on them.
This week in Ole Miss Athletics, football season finally here. Matt Luke and the Rebels welcome in South Alabama Saturday to kick off the 2017 season. Kickoff set for 6:30 on ESPNU, and tickets are available to purchase them, 888-REBTKTS, or visit OleMissTIX.com. Podcast also brought to you by Michael Oswalt. He's a realtor, specializes in recreational and timberland tracts across the state of Mississippi. He works with Tom Smith Land and Homes. It's by far the largest broker of land in Mississippi. Go to his site, gotland.com. That's got-land.com. Read his recent testimonials, all of that, track record, it's all there. Just know this, the land market's really hot right now. If you're on the fence about selling your land, your hunting club share, or your home with acreage, now's the time. Give Michael a call today. He's ready to meet with you and explain the process. 662-719-3967. Visit his Facebook page or send him an email, michael@tomsmithland.com.
Now go to Ryan Brown on the Rebel Locker Room Hotline.
All right, Ryan, thanks for joining us here on the program. Be safe driving in the rain there in Birmingham. The season is here, and we're going to get to some of the games and stuff in a second. First, I want to ask you, because you were around him, or you covered him for a while when he was the defensive coordinator at Alabama, Kirby Smart yesterday at Georgia scolding the media for things they've written about an offensive guard race, talking about getting reports during practice. Is this guy paranoid or is he trying too hard?
That's a great question. You know, there's no more paranoid group of people in this world than college football coaches. You know that already. And I thought initially with Kirby, he was trying to do his best Nick Saban impersonation. But, you know, this is not really stuff Saban has ever done. People talk about Saban's relationship with the media. But, he'll joke about media getting things wrong on depth charts or things like that. But I cannot remember a time where he scolded the media for saying, you said so-and-so's winning this position battle, they're not. It's kind of weird. Kirby has come off as a really paranoid, almost to the level of insecure coach. And it's been very, very odd to me because I did not think that's the type of coach he would be. I thought he would, not laid back, but I thought he would maybe be a little closer to a Jim McElwain type, the way McElwain was really before he got under Florida pressure. And that's not what you've gotten out of Kirby Smart. That's very odd to me.
Along those lines, Jim Harbaugh finally releases a depth chart, roster, whatever, at Michigan. It includes no current players. What the hell?
Here's what's so funny, Neil. Like, you've covered the NFL some, haven't you?
Yeah,
I
covered the Saints a good bit.
Yeah, and you watch, how much practice for the Saints let you watch?
Almost all of it.
Yeah. So, I don't. What I can't figure out is how the NFL coaches don't care about stuff like this. They don't care if you know their depth chart. They're mandated by the league to at least try to deal honestly about injuries. You know, there are teams that probably skirt that some, and I know that's a lot of gambling influence there. I get why, but they deal honestly on injuries. They give you a depth chart every week that is an accurate depth chart. They let the media watch practice. And how often is that an issue in the NFL? You never,
it's not,
ever hear that.
It's not. It's what blows me away, man, is that you can go to an NFL practice, you can cover it. I mean, no one writes about strategy because, A, you would end up looking like an idiot, and, B, it's just sort of understood that you don't do that. But
yeah.
We live.
And that's what I think is – I think college – here's one thing that – college coaches routinely do is give the media way too much credit for their football knowledge. To think that the average member of the media can go there and break down the X's and O's scheme of what you're working on in practice is absolutely laughable. We don't know enough to do that.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine today if I went out to Ole Miss's practice this afternoon and I got back into my car at the end of the practice and I called Joey Jones and said, hey, Joey, it's Neil. You ready? I took some notes. He would ask me if we were trying to, we're already in a comical land, but if we were trying to have a serious conversation, he would say to me, okay, what were they doing here? And I'd be like, well, they had 73 kind of here. And he would be like, you are absolutely no help at all for anything we're trying to do. He would be asking me questions, and I'd be like, what are you talking about, Joey?
Yeah. It's furthermore, if in a team meeting, a coach's meeting, Ed Orgeron said, I agreed Neil McCready, and he said they're doing this at Ole Miss practice. Ed Orgeron should be fired on the spot for doing that.
He would instantly lose the respect of his assistants.
Of course he would. And Ed Orgeron, as big a flop as he was at Ole Miss and maybe at LSU, he wouldn't be that dumb. So I've never really understood the whole paranoia. Everybody knows Spade is going to start for Michigan. You don't know who's going to start for Florida, but I don't know that that's necessarily a good thing. I don't, I think both those guys have their pluses, but if it's Zaire, maybe they run a little bit more. If it's Franks, it's probably more pass oriented. So maybe McElwain has a little advantage to not naming a starter, but man, this seems silly.
If they don't win really big this year, Harbaugh, does the national media finally begin to say, kind of tired of this?
Yeah, you have to wonder. Here's a question we asked on our show yesterday, and it's a good question, Neil. Who is this game bigger for, Jim Harbaugh or Jim McElwain? Because the records are almost identical. I think off the top of my head, well, I remember Harbaugh's is 20-6. McElwain has one fewer game because of the Florida LSU debacle last year. I think his is 19-8. All right, so they're separated by, what, 2.5 games. And McElwain has twice won his division and gone to the championship game, which Harbaugh has yet to do. So there are a lot of like coaching-wise, and you could ask the question, who is this game bigger for? Because you're right. There is so much hype for Harbaugh, who really, in the grand scheme of things, what has the guy accomplished in Michigan? He's had two 10-win seasons. He's Lloyd Carr. So what has he accomplished in Michigan?
He's figured out a way to wear a baseball cap everywhere without being
criticized? He's figured out a way to stay in the news consistently without winning ball games to do it. I mean, you know, let's be real about it. Urban Meyer and Nick Saban and Dabo Swinney are in the news a lot, but guess what they're doing? They're winning a lot of games to get there. And Harbaugh's won 20 games in 2 years. I don't want to diminish that, but he doesn't have near the accomplishments you would think based on the type of love and coverage he gets. But he's, I guess, decided that's how he needs to sell the Michigan program.
Yeah, Michigan never struck me as a program that needed to have a niche. And it's like he feels like it has to have a niche. It's Michigan, for God's sake. I mean, Michigan historically is in the same conversation with Alabama and USC and Ohio State. You know what I mean? I mean, the big time blue bloods. Michigan's a blue blood program. Yet he's treating it like it's a niche.
Their niche used to be going to the Rose Bowl all the time.
Yeah.
That was their niche.
That was their niche. All right. I heard Marty Smith this morning on Taylor Zarzer's show. I was taking Gus to the vet, was flipping around on XM. And Marty was talking about how he's in Tuscaloosa, and he's interviewing Saban and other guys, and he was talking about Jalen Hurts. And Jalen Hurts has a, Marty Smith's words, a big chip on his shoulder this year. What does he have a chip on his shoulder about?
I think, and I don't know, Marty will be on our show later today, so I'm glad you told me that. I'll ask him that. And Marty's a good friend, and he and I have texted a lot in his time there in Tuscaloosa, but that has not come up, so that's interesting. If I had to guess, maybe the chip on his shoulder is, you know, unfinished business, that they didn't win the championship game. Maybe the chip on his shoulder is that though he was the SEC Offensive Player of the Year, people doubt him, and even to the point they thought he might be replaced by a true freshman, and people criticize, you know, his passing accuracy and his ability to be a legitimate quarterback. I mean, maybe all those things add up. I don't know. It's an interesting thought because, as you say, you accomplished almost everything you could accomplish as a true freshman. What could you possibly have a chip on your shoulder about?
Well, and he's not the reason they lost the championship game.
No, I mean, that blame can go to a lot of people. Alabama quit picking up first down, so I do think he bears some of the responsibility.
Sure.
Bo Scarborough getting injured might have been the biggest moment in that game because once he went out, Alabama struggled to run the football after that, and that's very uncommon for Alabama. And Hurts couldn't stretch the field, so Clemson continued to hammer in on that run. Alabama quit picking up first downs, and the defense got gassed. But the last time Hurts touched the ball, he ran it in. So, you know, in a sense, he did all he could.
Yeah, I mean, I just at some point in a game like that, I think you have to say, hey, Deshaun Watson, you're a stud. Tip your hat. You know, I mean, the guy just made play after play after play, and it was a great game. 2 years in a row, they played great games, and somewhat fittingly, they both won one. I mean, you know what I mean? I mean, it was one of those deals where we all spend so much time trying to find reasons to blame instead of saying, Deshaun Watson wanted that thing really bad, and with the game in his hands, he made the plays.
You know, rarely is Alabama, Neil, in a situation where the best player on the field is not on their team. And they were in that situation. Deshaun Watson was the best player on the field. I mean, with all due respect to Jonathan Allen, who's a tremendous player, to Calvin Ridley, who's a tremendous, you know, whoever you want to say, the best player on the field was Deshaun Watson. And rarely is Alabama in that situation. And some would argue they might be in that situation in back-to-back games because of Derwin James at Florida State. But, you know, it's interesting that everybody's like, well, what's the formula to beating Alabama? And certainly, you know, Ole Miss has found it a couple of times. The formula to beating Alabama is you have to have the best player on the field, and he has to be your quarterback. I mean, that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
If you want to beat Alabama under Nick Saban, because the two times, you know, Bo Wallace played pretty well, but Chad Kelly was a freaking stud in Bryant-Denny Stadium the night they beat Alabama. He did everything right. So you have to have the best player on the field, and he's got to be a quarterback. That's your template to beating a Nick Saban Alabama team.
Is DeAndre Francois that guy?
I don't think he's the best player on the field. And I'm not sure. I mean, when you start looking at the quarterbacks that have given Saban trouble, you're talking Tim Tebow, Cam Newton, Johnny Manziel, Chad Kelly. And I know, you know, Kelly probably does not belong in that group, but the way he played in those games.
He was really like good, man. I mean, you know what? I think he does belong in that group. He had the off-the-field stuff, and then he had all the injuries last year. Otherwise, he's probably competing for the Broncos' job right now.
Yeah, you're probably right, Neil. And you look, the Broncos could do a lot worse. Yeah, well, they're going with Trevor Siemian. Maybe they are doing worse than him. But you get my point that those are the quarterbacks Saban has lost to. You know, Nick Marshall, who, while Nick Marshall will not go down on the list of great quarterbacks, what Nick Marshall was asked to do for Auburn, he was phenomenal at it. I mean, that guy was terrific at doing that for Auburn in 2013. So you have to have elite quarterback play to beat a Nick Saban defense. I don't know that DeAndre Francois can be elite. I don't know that he can. He's got to be, though, Saturday night if they want to upset Alabama.
I'm going to get back to football in a minute, but I only have about 10, 12 minutes left with you, and I want to get here, and so I'm going to do it now because football season starts.
All right.
I'm going to ask you a softball question, literally a question about softball. The deal at Auburn with the deal at Auburn with Clint Marsh,
Myers,
and the way that thing's been handled, this could potentially be the end of Jay Jacobs, right?
Yeah, it could. And there was, if you saw it yesterday, there was an important sign that Auburn might be distancing themselves from Jay Jacobs when a school official, Cassie Arner, who was the school spokesperson.
Yeah, I know Cassie.
Basically came out, and came out and said that Jay Jacobs' comment to AL.com that he was unaware of any investigation. Now, this comment was made back in April. The investigation had started in last September, so September of 16. The comment to AL.com was made in April of 17 when they asked point blank, is there an investigation going on in the Auburn softball program? And he said, I'm completely unaware of one. That's news to me, basically. And Cassie Arner, the Auburn spokesperson, has come out and said that was a very unfortunate comment that Jay Jacobs should not have made. So when you have a university spokesman publicly slapping on the wrist the athletics director because of a comment he made about an investigation ongoing in one of his programs, that is a really bad sign to me for where Jay Jacobs stands in this, Neil. That had the appearance, at least initially, of a university distancing themselves from an athletics director, and I don't think that's a comfortable spot for him.
In the event that that ends up being a power thing where he's either crippled or out, does that impact Gus Malzahn at all going into this season?
I don't know about I know where you're going with that question. So, you know, Gus Malzahn, the AD that hired him, his biggest fan, biggest defender at times, would be out the door, and a new AD might, if this season goes bad. I think it's less about the athletic director leaving and more about how the season goes. So if you've got a new athletics director and the season goes bad, I mean, the new AD may say, I want to get my guy in here, and you know, we're going to make a change right now. I think, though, Neil, they were going to be hand-in-hand, that if Gus Malzahn, if it went south for him and he ends up having to be fired, that was probably going to be a straw that broke Jay Jacobs' back anyway. So I think Jay Jacobs is going to be out on either count, and I think a new AD – If this season goes poorly, could be bad news for Gus Malzahn, yeah.
Let me
be clear. I don't think we're going to get to that point in this football season. I think Auburn will do well enough that Gus Malzahn is fine.
Yeah.
But in the event it's a 6 or 7 win season that includes your fourth straight loss to Georgia and fourth straight loss to Alabama, then all bets are off. Yeah.
You know, they're one of those interesting teams, though, because they could go 10-2. Hell, Ryan, they could go 11-1. And if it's the wrong two or the wrong one, there will be a clarion call for change. I mean, if you told me that they're 11-0 going into the Iron Bowl and Alabama pops them, I'm telling you, and you know I'm right, there will be people there that say, damn it, it's just we've got to get somebody who can get over Saban. I'm not saying that they'll make a change, but there would be power brokers there at Auburn who would say, it is time for change. I don't care about 11 wins.
Yeah, in this state, you know, Neil, you remember this. Now, Bill Curry was unpopular for a myriad of reasons. But the reason he was most unpopular is he could not beat Auburn. And Alabama went 11-1, or excuse me, 10-1. That was 11-game season then. 10-1, shared the SEC championship, went to the Sugar Bowl for the first time in a decade, but lost to Auburn. And Bill Curry had to take the Kentucky job because he knew he was getting fired. So that shows you where this state stands on that game. I mean, that's a guy that had done everything you could ask him to do that year, except for the one thing that was most important, and that was beat Auburn. And that's back when Auburn had the upper hand in this rivalry. I think the same, you know, would an 11-1 season and a loss to Alabama get Gus Malzahn? I don't know. But that would be the fourth straight loss to Alabama. And I would have to go back and look at this, but I would be interested to know how many coaches in the history of this rivalry have survived four consecutive losses to their in-state rivals.
Not many.
I don't know that any of them have. Yeah. It's not many of any. So it would be historic if he kept his job based on that.
It's a really short list if there even is a list. Again, we only have about 6 minutes left with you, so I'm going to get to this also. Stephen Godfrey had a story that came out last Friday, probably around the time that you guys were on the air. I've had a couple of things come out that have – at least using transcripts as the source, sort of hinted at the possibility of collusion, the possibility of some steering in this NCAA case against Ole Miss. Has that resonated over there at all?
Not really. And I've read your work on specifically the Leo Lewis front there and the suggestion that there was coaching of witnesses. It hasn't, and I'll tell you why. It's because of the time of year, Neil. Over here, it's all about getting the season started, and I don't know how big the appetite is. Now, let me tell you, if this were in Alabama or Auburn you were writing about, it would dominate our show, yes. But the fact that it's one state over and the season is so close, if this were April or May, different story. I think this is one of the bigger stories. That's one of the bigger stories around here. But with the season that close, it has not been as big a talking point, but I do find it interesting to follow, and it appears, as well as the coaching might have gone, there were still things said that people didn't want said, and I'm interested to see where that goes, too.
When you read it, you're a smart guy. You followed this. When you read it, did it change your perception of the case at all?
No, because my assumption going in, Neil, was if School X knows my player is going to be interviewed by the NCAA, School X is going to meet with that player ad nauseum to make sure he says the right thing. So for me, that was baked into the cake a little bit. I assume that went on. So when I read the transcript, it only confirmed what I had already thought went on. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I just assumed, look, any SEC program, if the NCAA calls and says, hey, that Neil McCready kid that's your tight end, that third team, he hasn't played yet, but and I know he's a senior, and he's never going to play for you, but we need him to see, that's a shot at you there, Neil. We need him to talk with us. I assume the school is going to call you in, Neil, and say, hey, Neil, why don't you tell us what they're asking you about? And, oh, you know what, Neil, that's probably not a good idea to bring up when you're talking to them. I assume any school's going to do that anyway.
Yeah, it's a fascinating thing. I mean, a lot of people talk about how this is going to lead to weaponizing recruits and stuff. I don't know how widespread or pervasive it's going to be, but how this whole thing comes out, it you're right. It's the middle of a football season, and a lot of people, if they're not passionately involved in it, are not going to pay attention. But when the season's over and the penalties are down and all of that stuff, there's going to be a lot of people in and around college football who look at it and go, So was this a great idea?
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. You're right. That's going to be a story that in hindsight, people look back on that and say, wow, I wonder what the repercussions of this one will be.
Yeah,
there's no doubt about that.
Okay, well, listen, I know you got stuff to do. Appreciate the time. We'll catch up with you again real soon.
Yeah, it's always fun. Let's do it anytime.
Okay, Ryan, take care. Again, our thanks to Ryan Brown for joining us on the podcast. The podcast is also brought to you by Oxford University Bank, OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB offers its customers the absolute best cash checking account. It's called Kasasa. And with Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000. With Kasasa, ATM fees nationwide are refunded. OUB also offers online bill pay and mobile check deposit using its online app. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. Podcast also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. It's just off Interstate 55 in Grenada, Mississippi. They have a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. Great lease deals as well. Service is fantastic. You'll enjoy your car buying experience there. I've done it on several occasions. You will be pleased. If you're in the market for a Nissan, it's where you should go. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. The podcast also brought to you by Comer Heating and Air. Comer Heating and Air has been serving Oxford and the surrounding area for the past 26 years. I've used Comer for AC repair. You can take my word for it. Their attention to detail, their customer service, and their work is second to none. Comer's an American Standard dealer, but they will work on any make or model, residential or commercial. Customers get same-day service, free estimates on new units, and preventative maintenance contracts. Visit their website, comerheatingandair.com, or check out their Facebook page. Mention you heard about them on the podcast, and you get $20 off. Contact Eric at 662-934-3846 or Shane, 662-832-8749.
Podcast also brought to you by Community Mortgage, located in Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. All underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. You're getting local underwriting and understands your market. Also, leader in condo financing in Oxford. So, reach out to Jason Lowe about the float-down option, which allows you to lock in the current rate. But if rates go down before you close, you get the lower rate. You can find him at 662-234-2704 or JLowe, J-L-O-W-E, at communitymtg.com. Podcast also brought to you by Tyson Drugs, tysondrugs.com. Go check out Sildenafil. You can request it online there at Tyson Drugs or give them a call at 662-252-2321. Much cheaper, only $10 compared to $50 or $60 for the little blue pill. Also the same length of effectiveness and gets ready in as little as 15 minutes. So check them out. Again, Sildenafil, tysondrugs.com.
Are you going to pass out samples tomorrow night?
I don't think that's legal.
Hey, I won't tell anybody. Use your burner phone.
Use the burner phone.
Yeah.
In front of 200 people.
Yeah. No one would tell.
Maybe they could play in with Cathead Vodka. You just drop them down in the vodka when they get the cocktail.
I'm fairly sure that is illegal. I don't think you can do that. I don't think you could drop the pill into the drink.
That has a very poor connotation,
yeah,
doesn't it?
It might be a little criminal there, I'm guessing, yeah. Oh, God.
Joke I'm not saying, okay.
Bite tongue now.
Yeah, I'm good. All right. You know, it's funny. Ryan, guy that knows college football as well as about anybody, I mean, just starts reciting stuff. He keeps going off Michigan's roster, all that crap.
Yeah.
Chad Kelly's 2015 season, one of the most overlooked things in the world. It's amazing.
Well, see, there was this play when they played Arkansas, and it was 4th and 25.
Hunter Henry did some things, and Alex Collins did some things.
Yeah. That sort of changed it.
It did.
Yeah, I've gotten where I wasn't correcting Ryan. I knew what he meant. No, Chad Kelly's better than Tim Tebow.
Chad Kelly's season, he had more total yards than Cam Newton had when he won the Heisman Trophy.
In that grouping of quarterbacks that he named, the only one that I would take over Kelly
is Johnny Manziel.
Is Cam.
Oh, Cam. You take Chad over Johnny?
Absolutely.
Would you really?
Better quarterback.
Okay.
Better arm.
Better arm. Oh, much better arm.
Cam Newton, on the college level, people, college. Don't give me the NFL stuff. I don't know.
Cam.
But Cam at Auburn might be the most dominant college player I've ever seen.
As we said, it was Cam and Nick Fairley and just a bunch of dudes.
Cam was, you couldn't get him down. He made play after play after play.
And he had his big moment. They were down to Alabama big in the Iron Bowl. He had the big
down
comeback.
Three touchdowns.
Is it 27-0, 24-0,
something, like
something like that?
And he goes, hop on.
Here we go.
It was big time now. Cam was really, really, really special.
They beat Oregon in the finals?
Yeah. And he was great that night, too. Was the reason they won the game. But outside of Cam.
Yeah, the list of quarterbacks, I mean, we've done this ad nauseum because Jeffrey talked about it all the time because way before Ryan said it, I mean, that was Jeffrey's thing. You have to have a good quarterback to beat Alabama, period. That's the only thing that does it. It's not tempo. It's not all that crap. It's quarterback play.
Great quarterback play.
And it's the list that he just mentioned plus Steven Garcia.
Yeah,
that's the list.
And Garcia on that day was incredible.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to do that because if you do that, you have to do Bo, and I'm not putting Bo in that category either. Bo, if you're listening, no offense, you were great that day. But
yeah,
Bo
the year they lost in the Sugar Bowl to Utah, was that Brian Johnson?
Yeah, but that didn't matter. They checked out.
They were.
They didn't show.
Good group.
When you're playing for a national title and then suddenly you're not and you have to turn around the next week and play.
That's why you never know what you're getting in bowl games, period.
You never know. You know, it's the fascinating. We're not spending much time on this, I promise. Change that play. Where are we today? Same place? Change that play. Fourth and 25 doesn't happen. Henry,
and they still finish the year the same way.
Henry goes down at the 13. Ole Miss wins.
They beat the crap out of LSU, and they beat State.
Beat State, and they go play Florida without Will Greer.
And they win.
And they win the game. So they're the SEC champ.
Because they would have won the game.
And let's make them the 4 seed in the
playoff. You're putting them in.
Yeah, because I'm absolutely –
two losses in.
I'm absolutely convinced that they get in. So does Alabama.
But they can't make Alabama the 1, obviously.
No, they make Alabama the 2 or the 3. Alabama's 11-1 and not an SEC champ. Ole Miss is 11-2 and the champ. Who are they? Clemson still makes it because they were
Michigan
unbeaten.
Michigan State.
Either Michigan State or Oklahoma, one of those two teams gets knocked out. I think Oklahoma gets knocked out. So Ole Miss would have either played Clemson or Michigan State in a semifinal game. Ole Miss-Clemson would have been a classic. Ole Miss would have kicked Michigan State's ass.
Because Alabama kicked Michigan State's ass.
And then Alabama would have played either Michigan State or Clemson. An Ole Miss-Alabama final.
Actually, I take this back. Clemson was the number 1 seed anyway.
Okay.
So Ole Miss would have played Clemson in your scenario.
It would have been a classic. Holy hell, what a great game that would have been.
And Bama still would have played
Michigan State and beaten the crap out of them. It would have knocked Oklahoma out.
They beat them 38-0 in the game.
Yeah.
And Clemson beat Oklahoma 37-17.
For kicks and giggles, an Ole Miss-Alabama final. Now, I think I would have bet on Alabama.
Yeah.
I don't know why, because Ole Miss went to Tuscaloosa the next September and won. Are we having a different conversation today?
They won in September that year. You're getting your years mixed up.
Yeah, I am. You're right. Sorry.
They'd already beat them in Tuscaloosa that season.
It was a long day.
It was.
Yesterday.
So, I mean, but it still doesn't change anything Hugh Freeze did off the field. I mean, you still are in this same spot in the NCAA when you're going, hey, well, you know, you finished second in the country. We'll forget it. If anything, they see a bigger scalp.
Yeah. You're probably right.
They start freedom fighting even more.
Don't make me choke up again.
Take down those guys.
God, they're heroes, man. I mean, we've watched all this stuff in Houston. Heroic people. And then we get to read about the people in Indianapolis, and it's emotional. I, w- will, I'm going to tip my hat to Texas, man. All the people that are out there saving horses and dogs and
moving the cattle to higher ground.
All, no jokes, phenomenal stuff. Risking their lives. Phenomenal stuff. Texans are, they're obnoxious about telling you that they're different, but they're different.
Ron mentioned Jim Harbaugh. He's never finished higher than third in his comp, in his division.
I know.
I mean, it's a little bit of a weird, it's a funky stat because he's won a lot of games, and it's not like he's had went 7-5.
You'll hear this on the Beer
but
Garden.
But they have. They have finished third in their division both years.
You'll hear this on the Beer Garden tomorrow with Andy. This is kind of the first year that most of the guys on the team are his recruits. We're going to see.
What's your gut?
I don't know that I know enough about it to have a gut.
My gut is they still lose to Ohio State.
Well, at some point you have to beat Ohio State. In the same way that if you're Gus Malzahn, at some point here soon, you better beat Alabama.
Well, Ryan played out that scenario, and it's fascinating because he's exactly right. But the even more fascinating one would be 10-2, Georgia and Alabama.
I'm telling you right now, he would not survive it.
At 10-2.
I'm telling you today. We can bet
a... be a higher-class Frank Solich thing.
I'll bet you a bottle of Cathead vodka.
Really?
Yes, sir.
10-2... beats everybody but Georgia and Alabama.
He will not survive it. You can pick your flavor. I'll even throw in a 44-ounce daiquiri at the Oxford Exxon.
Big daiquiri.
Yep. No way. No chance. Zero chance. No surviving. He's Bill Curry at that moment.
Thinking it out.
You want to take the wager or not?
Well, I don't think this is happening anyway, but Georgia's
oh,
not.
Oh, I don't know. It's possible. There aren't many teams on Auburn's schedule that can beat Auburn. There's one at the end for sure. Maybe LSU. Maybe Georgia. I don't know what Georgia is.
I don't like Georgia. I don't really have a reason.
What do you think? What is it about them you don't like?
No, I don't mean program wise.
No, I know. Just what is it about? What is it about that team that you go eh?
For whatever reason, I don't trust Jacob Eason yet.
Okay.
Now they are good at running back.
They're really good at running.
And
back.
As always, they have athletes all over the field.
Sure.
But they secondary gets a little inept at times.
Yeah.
What they have going for them though is they play in an East where they're just better than everybody else. Florida doesn't have a quarterback.
Tennessee doesn't have a quarterback.
The best quarterback in the division is Bentley.
But now, I do think everyone else in the East is better this year than they were last year. Every single program outside of the big three in the East, the bottom four of the East, all four are better this year to some degree than they were last year.
I'm going to go here's one thing about this. The second week of the season, Gus Malzahn has got to go to Clemson.
Yeah.
Is he winning that game?
Yeah.
Oh, you think he wins?
Yeah. Watson's not playing, right?
No.
Okay.
He's gone.
Yeah. Auburn wins.
Before Alabama, Georgia Southern at home at Clemson, Mercer, Missouri at Missouri, State at home, Ole Miss at home, at LSU, at Arkansas, by at A&M. They have three conference games in a row. And then they stay home the rest of the year. Georgia, ULM, Alabama.
I guess they could lose it at LSU, conceivably.
They're not, but sure.
I mean, I don't know. What's LSU's got a lot of issues.
If they're hot, they could lose at A&M. If the Aggies actually have a pulse, they could lose at A&M.
A&M is one of those weird teams. If you told me that A&M was really good in November, I'd buy it. If you told me that they were a clown car in November, I'd buy that too.
I do think Ole Miss can score a lot of points and at least make this thing some 40-41, you know, this thing over there.
At Auburn?
Yeah. I think both teams score out their tails that day. I think it looks like a Big 12 South game.
I think it's one of those 41-31 games.
Just one more stop.
Where it's, you know who's winning, but it's still interesting.
Early fourth, you go, hey, if they get a stop, and then you get the ball, and you do all that in your head while you're sitting there.
I was reading the Jason Jones comments from yesterday. I just, way too many question marks back there.
Moving parts.
Yeah, and so what that means is a lot of third and sevens get converted. And those are backbreakers. You make a play, third and nine, they convert it. You end up having to sell out linebackers on blitzes. I don't know who the hell Ole Miss has to blitz. I mean, when it's DeMarcus Gates and a bunch of guys, I have questions. Brendan Williams played, what, 1 year of linebacker at Northeast? And now he's the...
I think so.
And now he's a starter?
He was a wide receiver before that. He's a starter in their 4-3 when they do that.
And I hate doing this because I always want to make sure I say this the right way. The Taylor Polks of the world should be celebrated. I admire them. He walks on at a program, busts his tail, earns a scholarship, earns the respect of his teammates. But when he's playing that much in your program, it is a reflection not only on his achievement, but it is a reflection on your lack of the size-speed ratio guys that you have to have.
Currently, linebackers in a 4-3, Gates, Evans, and Williams, and then Street, Polk, and Hibbler. However, Bing Dukes will be back after week one. He's suspended for this first step chart purposes.
So your backup is a converted running back, a converted tight end, and a walk-on.
Then the secondary spots this week, A.J. Moore, Jalen Julius, Zedrick Woods, C.J. Moore, Miles Hartsfield, your starters. Javian Hamilton, C.J. Hampton, Jalen Jones, Dede Bowie, and Breon Dixon are the backups. Ken Webster also suspended for this week. Deontay Anderson is redshirting. He wasn't going to play anyway, though, is where this gets down to. He was not in the rotation, which caused this conversation.
And let's get this out, too. This is one of the things that's going to be a challenge for Matt Luke and his program this year. When we say that guys are being recruited by other schools, I'm not saying that other coaches are picking up the phones and calling guys on the Ole Miss roster. That's not happening. However, people around other programs contacting former high school coaches, 7-on-7 coaches, even family members, and just in the midst of conversation going, hey, if you talk to X, let him know if things go bad, we got a spot. We loved him in recruiting. We'd love to have him again. Okay, so coaches can say, hey, man, we got to rally here. We've got to keep outside stuff out. We're inside this building. We're a family. Let's lock arms. Let's block everything else out. That sounds great. That's not how the real world works at all. These guys all are like every other person, ages 12 to 60. They go nowhere without their phone. They get text. They get Instagram. They get Twitter. They get Facebook. They get FaceTime, they get Skype. What else is out there? All the different things. There's ways to contact people. Their families are saying to them, hey, I heard from, just letting you know, kind of heard from the coaches at
State U.
And they want you to know if things go bad. I mean, it's out there. It is a distraction. It's impossible for it not to be a distraction. It's not possible that it is not a distraction. Now, can you manage that distraction? Sure. If you get on a roll, is it easier to get focused as a football program? Yes.
Yeah, well, much less of a thing at 3-0 than anything else.
But, you know, you stumble a little early, and all of a sudden, a lot of the stuff that gets said, instead of it being inspirational, now it's just words. It's just corny. And now people are saying, hey, you know that guy's not going to be your coach next year, right? You know that, right?
Well, I mean, let's break down the Deontay thing. Just from a logical standpoint. He's redshirting because he wasn't playing. If he was listed as a starter and he was starting the game, he wouldn't be redshirting Saturday.
Right.
A redshirt helps him in one of two ways. Just keeping it real.
Yeah.
One is if they get hit with a two-year bowl ban and they are given the ability to transfer without penalty, with a waiver that does not make them sit out. Because then he does not lose a year eligibility. He would be a sophomore if he did choose in this hypothetical world to transfer. The other thing is that if he is staying at Ole Miss completely and he spends a year to get faster or bigger or whatever it is that is keeping him from the two deep and from playing more. Those are the two things. He stays. He plays. He doesn't. The thing that makes no sense and is what is also an incredibly likely possibility is everybody goes, oh, well, he's leaving no matter what. No, he's not leaving no matter what, because if it's a one-year bowl ban or he doesn't get a waiver,
right,
that would be the dumbest thing in the history of the world, because he would be off the field 2 years no matter what. That's stupid.
But is it possible that in the back of his mind he's going, hey, in case there's a two-year bowl ban, and if there is a two-year bowl ban, guys, people are going to be allowed to leave without penalty. I'm just telling you that is going to happen. Now he gets to transfer and he can play at a new program for 3 years.
Like I said, it's a plus both ways. Right. I mean, it's I don't know what's going through his head.
But he wasn't going to play on this team.
No, I mean he's been told, and barring injuries, you are not playing considerable snaps.
Right.
I'm not saying you're
not part of the rotation.
Yeah.
And so he made a decision, and I get it. The people that criticize that come on, man, you don't get that right. You don't have that right. He has a right to say what's in my best interest. And if he's the starting free safety, we're not having this conversation, but there's a reason he's not. And he's got to figure that out. But I get not wanting to use up a year of eligibility to be a third stringer and to play mop-up minutes. I get it. I'm not saying it's the right thing to do. I'm not saying it's the wrong thing to do, but I understand it. And then if it ends up being a one-year bowl ban, and this is the bowl ban, and at the end of this season, whether it's Matt Luke or whoever running the program, and now you to transfer at this level, you have to sit a year. Well, now he has some soul searching to do. Yeah. Now it's time to get tough and you stick it out and figure it out. And I'm sure Deontay's a really good kid, according to everyone who knows him. I'm sure that he will do his part as a redshirt.
And to get himself better.
Work to get himself better. And then he can make a decision.
I mean, it's had to be a tough eye-opening year for him when he looks up and he's a top 50 national recruit and he is struggling to get in this rotation. I mean, Matt Luke's not – Wesley McGriff is not sitting Deontay Anderson just because of it. It's because he doesn't give him the best chance at this time. And I don't know, fascinating. I would never have expected it. But anyway, that's where we are with that. Just wanted to kind of run through that a little bit. Want to go over for a second as we move on.
Clarion Ledger obtained
the affidavit from Lopez Jones
that I reported on.
Yeah.
I've had people say, "Why didn't you use the word affidavit in your reporting?" I don't know. I didn't think to. I said documents. It's good enough. I thought. Tell you what, there's a lot of Monday morning journalisming out there in Twitter land.
It's a lot like how companies base everything off Twitter. Stop.
Yeah.
It's such a small portion of everything. They're just so loud and people get too consumed by it.
Yeah. The people on Twitter have big megaphones.
Yeah. People get way too consumed about outrageous Twitter thoughts.
Yeah. You're really good about that. You don't let it faze you. I mean that as a compliment. So are you taking my damn Auburn wager or not? If they go 10-2 and the two are Georgia and Alabama, are you going to take the bet or not? Bottle of cat head of my choice and a 44-ounce orange daiquiri.
Why are you choosing the cat head?
Because if I win...
Oh, I see what you're saying. No, never mind.
Come on.
I got you.
If you win, you can have the bottle of your choice. Taking the damn wager or not?
He's not fired.
Okay, we're in.
They're not going 10-2, but...
Okay, but if they do, and those are the two...
Okay, fine.
Got to lock that in now.
Whatever.
I do like the honeysuckle with the lemonade.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know that I would like that in December as much as I would like something else, so I'll have time to think about it.
They have the pecan.
Yeah.
They also do the chicory thing that...
That's interesting.
How obnoxious is overall media, Auburn fans, Twitter going to be after they beat Clemson in their 2 or 3?
Oh, bad. Bad.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Rolling.
Rolling. War damn Eagle.
Jared Stidham is Cam Newton.
Yeah.
Nick Marshall, except he can throw now.
And then the anti-Auburn, yo, Jeremy Johnson, they're going to do that too. And both sides are wrong. This kid's good. We'll find out, is he good enough? I keep hearing from people that Jalen Hurts is not the best quarterback at Alabama. Going to be their quarterback, but that he's not the best quarterback at Alabama. How much does Tua develop over the course of a freshman season?
That'd be an intriguing thing for next year, wouldn't it?
That could be a fascinating storyline. What if Jalen Hurts wins the national title and then isn't the quarterback next season?
Saban's not the guy to just go, yeah, you're the dude, no matter
what
you want. No,
and something tells me Tua is not the guy to sit 3 years.
He knew what he was getting into when he signed on.
Yeah, well,
you're getting there.
I'm getting there.
Yeah.
He knew he was going to come in and beat out Jalen Hurts. That's what he believed.
And I almost damn did it now.
And so if he doesn't do it, he has a decision to make. God, can you imagine the market on him in the transfer market? Get your burner phones ready, everyone.
Everybody in.
Woo, all in. It'd be similar to what would happen. I'm sorry, God, I'm oh, my Gmail address. But I'm sorry.
Use someone else.
It would be similar to what would happen if Ole Miss gets hammered and Shea Patterson decided to transfer. Literally everyone in. Everyone jumping in the pool.
I saw a lot of people analyzing Shea Patterson's body language last night. I was in the room.
Yeah.
The interview was drawing on and on and on, and he was tired of talking to us. It had no impact on Shea's desire to be at Ole Miss or not be at Ole Miss last night.
Let me say this to the Ole Miss beat. And I've been guilty of asking bad questions too, but can we all agree that 5 minutes is plenty? 10 minutes with the DB coach is just not necessary. You're not using all of that.
Shea was tired. He'd been at practice.
Yeah.
He was ready to go. That's all yesterday was. He was probably hungry. He was fine.
Ready to go do something else.
Other than talk to us, yes.
Yeah.
He was fine.
About the same thing he's been talking about all day.
Yeah.
I've said this about Shea. He's going to play hard. He's going to give you everything he has. I think he's a difference maker on the field. And at the end of this season, if it's really bad, he'll have a decision to make. And he'll make it at that point. I don't think Shea Patterson is sitting around every day going, I wonder where I'll play next year.
No, he's playing football.
He's playing football right now.
We've said this before at IMG. He's perfect. He's a football robot. He is getting to play football every day.
Yes.
That's all he wants to do.
And at the end of this season, the day after the Egg Bowl, if it's really bad, I'm sure he and people in his life will make a decision.
And if it's not, he's going to call A.J. Brown and D.K. Metcalf and go, hey, we're going to toss the ball around tomorrow.
Yeah.
3 o'clock. Cool.
Yeah. I'll put it this way. I think in 2018, Shea Patterson plays in a bowl game.
It's fair.
Somebody, somewhere, possibly Ole Miss. I don't know. Just my thoughts. The podcast brought to you by 7 South Tailgating. 7 South, owned and operated by Kyle and Jordan Thornton. So it's Wednesday. If you haven't done it yet, they still have some spots open. They typically sell out. So there aren't many spots open. Give them a call, 662-321-1682. If you give 7 South a try for one season, you're never going to tailgate without them again. They have SEC-only packages, full-season packages, complete setup, game day concierge, post-game trash removal, equipment breakdown, and more. 7SouthTailgating.com. Speaking of things that you're running out of time to do, if you want to go snapper fishing in Mississippi waters, it's Wednesday. You got 5 days.
6 days I can't go catch snapper.
Yeah.
Okay.
And six, starting next Tuesday, you can't go catch snapper in Mississippi waters.
Well, I probably could.
You are such a – I tell you what, you and so many – just you've been around the Ole Miss program too long. I guarantee you the Coast Guard's out there freedom fighting. Anyway, John Fryer and Tuna Chaser Charters in Biloxi, they can take care of you if you want to legally fish – for snapper in the next 5 days. If you don't have time in the next 5 days, it's okay. Don't panic. It's okay. He can do inshore fishing expeditions, offshore fishing expeditions, 4 to 12 hours. You can fish for cobia. You can fish for speckled trout, for triple tail, all of that, sometimes called blackfish. TunaChaserCharters.com. Go to his Facebook page or call him at 228-348-7817. Another thing that you're running out of time to do, and we're breaking some bad news to people right now. You've got 2 days left, including today, to sign up for Oxford Park Commission fall sports. You want to learn karate, take up fencing, get your kids involved in gymnastics or tennis, learn how to catch a trophy bass, maybe even learn how to catch a trophy snapper. They offer all these exciting instructional classes and more through Thursday. Golf lessons for adults and youth, tennis, gymnastics, canoeing, hiking. Pick out the activity that suits you best. Visit online, oxfordparkcommission.com. Podcast also brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. Currently, Ben Brown and his team are looking to hire part-time and full-time sales team members across Texas and the Southeast to join their team. They offer extensive training, support, and the best products and pricing in the industry. Whether you're looking to supplement your current income or find a better career opportunity, email Ben Brown at JourneyBizSolutions.com. They're looking for motivated individuals with some sales experience, a business degree, or those who are close to completing their business degree who have a passion to serve small business owners. They have an exceptional uncapped commission structure and are an equal opportunity employer. Email Ben today, BenBrown@JourneyBizSolutions.com.
Still got, well, actually, this is it's the final podcast of the week in this format. We're going to run a beer garden tomorrow that is tons of football, as Neil said when he was opening up. Andy Staples, Chris Landry.
It's nothing but college football.
You'll get your fix.
There's no baseball. There's no NFL. It's just college football. There's enough Ole Miss in there for people to go, if it's not Ole Miss, I don't want it. I know there aren't many of you guys that are that way, but there's some. There's Ole Miss with both Andy Staples and with Chris Landry. Probably 10 minutes Ole Miss with both of them. So there's a 20-minute Ole Miss fix. But there's a lot more there. Really good stuff with both of them.
What games are you interested in this weekend? What are we watching?
Well, I'm interested in Alabama, Florida State. I won't get to watch it, but I'm interested in it. Of course, I'm absolutely riveted by UL and Memphis.
You're somewhat interested in Colorado State Friday night.
I am interested in Colorado State. We talk about Mike Bobo with Andy Staples at the end. So, actually, kind of get back into some Ole Miss at the end of that conversation. I'm interested in Tennessee, Georgia Tech, because I think Butch Jones is in trouble. And Tennessee's one of those teams that could spiral quickly. The same holds for Texas A&M out at UCLA. A week one loss is devastating. And I'm interested in seeing LSU. They're going to beat BYU, but I'm interested to see what they look like.
ULM plays Memphis at 8. Or do we have to find somewhere to go after our event where the game is on, or are we restricted to those?
That's
sort
a Thursday
things?
Night game, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Do you think I could wear my helmet?
You could bring the helmet and just sit it over there, and we might could like put a stuffed tiger under it, like it was.
Yeah, it's a thought. Go so if I wear maroon on Thursday night,
it's ULM.
It's ULM maroon.
You'll not get questioned at all about that.
Nobody would say anything.
Colorado State, 7 o'clock Friday night.
Yeah, I'll see the second half of that. I got Oxford High School versus somebody for the first half.
Grenada. Gene and Sandy coming over?
I don't know. We'll see them tomorrow. We'll ask.
Yeah, there's some interesting games. I'm intrigued enough. I love for the Terrapins to knock off Texas on Saturday.
Oh God, yes.
Go Maryland. If Temple could beat Notre Dame, that'd be great, but won't happen. So Kentucky Southern Miss is kind of interesting Saturday.
Will we be able to stream Alabama Florida State while we're covering our contest?
Why wouldn't we?
I don't know. That'd be on ESPN.
We've been around Jeffrey long enough, right? We understand that there are ways to watch other games in the press box when
yes.
you are.
The Cubs will have already played.
Every SEC team is on ESPN3 pretty much, remember?
Yeah, the Cubs will have already played. I will not be distracted.
It's going to be a weird sight before the games because no unofficial visitors for Ole Miss until LSU.
Yeah, no Oxford Visitors Bureau for a while.
Yeah, so, I mean, they're literally sidelines that whole – 45 minutes before when they get crowded up, nothing. Strange sight. But credit to Ole Miss and tons of other sports teams around the country sending gear to Houston because of the hurricane. Samson put all that stuff together at the University of Houston. And
that's cool.
Yeah, sent a lot of stuff. I saw they got into it with baseball too. I saw Mike Bianco and some of those people send a bunch of baseball stuff to Todd Whitting, the Houston baseball coach. So. Good stuff going on in the midst of unspeakable tragedy. So, again, we will do Beer Garden tomorrow. On Friday, you'll get our live version of the show from Thursday night with Andy Kennedy and Raheem Lockhart. Don't let that be a reason not to come. Come hang out with us. Come chill. But if you don't live near Jackson, you can't get there as many of you do in our markets across the Southeast, you can't hear it on Friday morning. So, we will talk to you again in this format on Monday. We'll be back tomorrow, though, with tons of football, and then on Friday with Andy Kennedy. Talk to you then.